Gospels are not, in a way, biographies. They're written from faith, from people of faith, to nurture and deepen and explain the faith that we have here today. And that's important. When we look at the life of Jesus, many people have attempted to understand the so-called hidden years. And that's, in a way, good, because it gives us the context for Jesus' life. We understand more about Palestine. We understand more about him growing up in a community, in a religious community. In a way, we don't need it. What we have in Scripture, in the Gospels, is a sufficiency of faith, a sufficiency of texts, enough for us, sufficient for us to understand, sufficient for us to come to salvation. And it's important what this little passage, this lovely little incident that we have, where Jesus is poised between childhood and adulthood, not yet in the Jewish sense fully adult, still a child, still dependent. What it is telling us about Jesus. And Jesus is a part of a family, part of a network of relationships, as we all are. We all have families in a way. We all have extended families, those who are close to us, those who bring us up. And Jesus is part of that. We know about Mary and Joseph, but there would have been others as well. We can trace that and track that. We can see Jesus being part of an earthly family. And he's also part of a human family, a wider human family. The place from which he comes, Nazareth, and the religious community, the Jewish community of which he was born into. So we see Jesus then as part of a world, but also living under the conditions of humanity, with human limitations, which God himself sets through the incarnation. Living with human limitations and living within the religious law, the Jewish religious law. But also, most importantly, I think, with a messianic awareness. A messianic awareness that goes alongside his self-awareness. We all have a sense of who we are, don't we, as a person, a deep, abiding sense. Jesus had that, but also, I believe, an awareness of himself as God's son. And that was something that was there right from the start, and we can see it, isn't he? He's in the Father's house. I must be in the Father's house. Disturbing words, isn't it? He must be in God's place, in the temple. And that's been underlined by Luke, isn't it? This is where Jesus belongs. And this is to whom Jesus really ultimately belongs. To God, his Father, to his Father in heaven. The human relationships are important, but they must find a place. And it's quite difficult and disturbing, isn't it, when we see Jesus saying, Jesus' parents, that very human thing of a child lost, a child missing. As a child, I was once lost in back fisheries in Aylesbury High Street. I think my parents found me again. I don't remember. I just remember being lost. And I was found. A disturbing moment, isn't it? We all have faced it. But for Jesus, he knows where he must be. But Jesus doesn't exploit his messianic awareness. I think that's very important. He doesn't become a child prodigy. He doesn't exploit what Paul in Philippians talks about, that equality with God. There he is in the temple. What two things is he doing? He's listening and asking questions. He's listening and asking questions. He's not doing the third thing. He's not doing the telling thing, is he? He's absorbing, learning, being open to being taught, a teachable moment, a teachable occasion. And those two things are very important, aren't they, in us all, in children. To ask questions but also to listen. The two things go together, or should go together. And Jesus goes back with his parents. He goes back into that life. He goes back into obscurity. If you stop and think about it, Jesus at 12 and then Jesus at 30, starting his earthly ministry or thereabouts, 18 years, if I've done the maths right, and I hope I have, of obscurity, of living out an ordinary life, the hidden years. But they're not really hidden, are they? Not at all. They're illuminated by the light that shone from the stable, the light that illuminated the shepherds on that hillside, and the light that the wise men, the magi, followed, the star. That same incantational light is there in Nazareth for 18 years. And we can rightly talk, I think, about heaven in the ordinary. Here is Jesus living out a human life, experiencing what we experience, our laughter, our tears, our joys, our frustrations, sharing all those things. That's what God in Christ does. He steps into human existence, not in a pretend or sham way, not at all, but in a real way, in an intimate way. God with us, in us, alongside us, experiencing what we experience, and crying with us that one day we might laugh and rejoice with him. It seems to me that the incarnation does no damage to our understanding of God. We understand God in a deeper, more personal way. The incarnation does no damage either to our understanding of what it is to be human. But again, we understand our humanity in a deeper way, a more profound way. No damage. Only light, only joy, only hope. We celebrate these 12 days of Christmas, but in a way, we move on, don't we? Bethlehem and Jerusalem are the places that we are called to be. If you stop and think about it, Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem for the census. They were compelled to go. They had to go by force of law. The shepherds were called by the angel to Bethlehem. The wise men were called by the star and followed the star to find Jesus. Being called and journeying are demanding and possibly exciting things. They take us up, don't they? They consume us. The call and the journey are exciting and demanding, challenging, scary, and perhaps disturbing. Bethlehem and Jerusalem stand for the places where we live, Nazareth, where we are called to. On the other hand, Nazareth stands for the place where we live, home, the place that is familiar, the place that may be mundane, the place that may be compromised, difficult, the place where we live, the familiar. But when we stop and think about it, Jesus is more likely to be found in Nazareth, in the ordinary, in the mundane, in the possibly compromised, in the possibly broken. He's to be found there. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are the peaks, decisive places, but the ordinariness also contains God, the possibility of God's grace, the possibility of light and love and life. And we may not be looking for it. We may think, well, we've got to go some other place, some other journey. But here it is, our Nazareth, our heaven in our ordinary. Jesus lives out a life in many ways of obscurity, of a small place in the vast Roman Empire. He lives out that life. And in a way, also, his death is obscure as well. The backwater of human history, and perhaps also, ultimately, the scrap heap of human history. And yet, that's where God is. That's where God is most powerfully to be found. That's where God has come down to. Jesus' obscurity is our glory. His obedience in returning to Nazareth, to living out a life under human limitations and under the law, is in fact our redemption, our freeing. That God in Christ limits himself means that we are set free. Free to be his people, to rejoice in God wherever we find him. Amen.